Bubba Wallace here from 2311 Racing. Funny thing about being fast, you end up waiting a lot. First to show up, first in line, then just waiting. Me, I rev up Chumba Casino. With over 200 social casino games, no slow lanes here. Why sit around when you can spin? I'm already racing. Your turn. Play for free at ChumbaCasino.com. That's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Hello and welcome to Please Won't You Shut Up, a Star Trek Picard podcast. I'm your girlfriend who lives in Canada, Mickey Alexa.
I am not your tour guide, but if you tip me, I'll tell you things. Blake.
And I'm still your hot side piece, Brent Robertson.
You are getting a t-shirt that just is your hot side piece.
It's gotta happen. This is a spoiler-free podcast for any episodes after the episode we are talking about, so despite having seen a few episodes ahead, we won't be jumping forward on the timeline and ruining the fun. Tonight, we are talking about Episode 2 of Picard, Maps and Legends.
Thank you. I was just looking up the titles of the episodes.
Yeah, it makes it so
easier. What was Episode 1?
That was Remembrance.
Okay, yeah. That makes sense. And this is Maps and Legends?
Maps and Legends.
Maps and Legends. Interesting. Yeah.
So it was Data and Mars, which was the Remembrance.
Yeah. Yeah, and then Maps and Legends because you're learning stuff about the world. So it immediately opens with pre-Mars attacks.
Yes, that's really Planitia. Right. Yes. Yeah. Okay, just to give framework so we don't do any spoilers.
Yeah.
This episode goes from that. It goes from Mars Attacked, which I love.
Yeah.
To where does episode 2 end?
It ends. Oh shit.
It ends. Okay. Raffi tells him to fuck off.
Yes, Raffi tells him to fuck off. He waggles the bottle of Chateau Picard and says Romulan plot.
Yeah.
And she goes, "Ugh, yeah, fine."
Is that the end?
I want to say if that's not the end, there's maybe a very short Soji scene after it, if anything.
But
not much, of any consequence that we care about right now.
Nothing too important at all.
No.
But the opening, we meet F8.
Fate.
Yeah.
Brutal. Obvious brutal.
A synth working with a team on Contact Day. They're on extra hours.
Oh, First Contact Day.
Yeah, First Contact Day. So they're
Montana better milk this shit. If Montana as a state currently doesn't milk the shit out of First Contact Day, I'm offended. I'm not going to give them my tourist dollars.
I think they do actually have some sort of festival at Bozeman, at least.
Can you imagine that's like all of a sudden Star Trek picks your town?
Yeah, might as well.
That's great. First Contact Day.
Yeah, First Contact Day. So these workers on Utopia Planitia are working on the holiday. Again, kind of complicated economics of like, so what do you get extra to
also,
work on a holiday?
The cinematography is like dark red.
Hold on, the way I see it is you get. Not necessarily. You get money of some kind.
Yeah.
You get some kind of compensation for your work, but it feels like it feels a little bit in this iteration of Star Trek, and this might be giving away. It's not giving away any spoilers. It's just what I've read from the three episodes that it's like almost like a guaranteed basic income kind of federation.
Yeah,
like everyone's comfortable. Everyone's got the basics. Like there's no privation or starvation or anything. But like if you want to live lavish and live large and like then you have to work for that. Jobs actually do pay. It's just that you won't fucking starve or die if you choose to be unemployed.
Yeah, I think it's a combination of that. Like, you can bonus up to the next level of stuff by earning money.
Yeah.
But in the Federation, you could go through life just, like, not subsisting, but, like, you just using programs available.
Yeah.
But if you want to interact with any other civilization outside of the Federation...
Yeah, you need some funds.
You need some funds, especially the Ferengi.
Yeah.
You're gonna need some money.
Yeah.
You know, so, yeah, And it does seem that some people operate on that as well, but we'll get into that in the next
episode. 3, we're going to have a hard talk about economics, and I'm excited I'm very excited about that. It's about responsibility. Time.
Responsibility. Galactic experiences.
But in this episode...
Anyway,
so yeah, what happens?
This very red room, it's very fascinating. Yeah. Everything's red. Every character seems to have a bit of a rapport, either good or bad, with FH. Some people
that
treat
thing is
him
fucking
okay.
Creepy.
Super creepy.
And
the,
I say
the
that.
Smile is.
Oh, it's the smile.
Oh, yeah.
And I say that as someone who thanks Siri almost every time because, you know, I don't want the robots to come for me when it gets there.
I do that as well.
But, like, this. Yeah.
Yeah.
But this. Well, God, you took her last name, for Christ's sakes.
Ah!
But,
yeah, well, yeah.
No, these robots are creepy as fuck.
Yeah, no.
Hell yeah.
He looks like Stephen Merchant. Yeah, the hell yeah. Just, what did you do? Nothing. Hell yeah. Hell yeah.
Yeah.
It's like, okay, yeah.
What's brown and sticky?
Oh, God.
Yeah.
So bad.
It was bad.
It was so bad.
It's nice to know that
he's doing a poor detriment to all puns.
Yeah.
Like,
but I guess if you're a machine that doesn't even get that, yeah, it's just like, oh, God.
But his ultimate poor reaction is still coming.
Mm-hmm. So something goes flashy in his eyes,
mm-hmm.
and he starts taking down the security of...
Is that a phaser he was using?
I think it's like a cutting phaser.
Okay,
like
a mechanical, like
yeah.
a building thing. Because it was brutal and awesome.
Oh, God.
I was like, damn, phasers were always like, like a beam of light has
right?
killed you somehow.
And
this was like, I'm going to cut through you and cut the wall behind you, and it's going to be... pretty horrifying.
Yeah, it's like a chainsaw of a laser.
Boom! And a much more aggressive sound,
oh.
too. Like, no little...
What a wonderfully horrible, like, violent scene in that sense of, like, not only...
And then it's
you
just
see...
escalation. Like,
yeah.
little hints in the background, monitors and announcements. Like, as soon as he starts going nuts and it starts announcing warning, like, we knew what's happening, but still, like, multiple... synthetics
yeah.
are going wrong. It's just like, oh yes,
yeah.
Oh,
it's like everything has gone to shit.
Yeah,
yeah. And the
so bad it burned off the atmosphere.
Exactly.
I can't get over that. It's such an escalation of scale. It's
and
great.
It not only burned off the atmosphere. The ships with the refugees in orbit were the ones that Picard saved in the comic book.
No.
They,
so like, actually, the refugees died too.
Yeah, all of the refugees died. And,
so, it feels like the Romulans are behind this. Why are they killing their own people?
Right? What is the purpose? It can't just be some hatred of
no.
machines. That's
no,
because
they're killing their own people.
Yeah. Or maybe they were killing those indigenous inhabitants that got enslaved. And the Tal Shiar are just like, we super don't care about them.
Mm.
But at the same time, it did stop... the salvation of other Romulans through the Federation, but maybe they were just like, no, we've got plans. We're Romulans. What do you want?
Yeah.
We need to mosey on them because one of my favorite scenes out of the 3 episodes so far that I've seen is coming up very, very soon. I'm excited.
Mosey.
Well, I don't know. So you keep us on track, and then because I'm not sure how close.
At this point, actually, I'm completely spacing.
I watched this today to catch up. Okay, so Dodge is dead.
Dodge is dead.
He's... Do we end up in the apartment in Boston right away?
Yes, I believe that they more or less go from... he's at the chateau talking to the two Romulans assistants.
Laris and a reasonable sedan.
A reasonable sedan. the backseat of a sedan.
Mm-hmm. Laris and hatchback, yeah.
And Laris, being the more interesting character, goes, well, let's just fucking go.
Yeah.
Let's go to the crime scene.
She's so on it there. She's like, okay, the whole whatever technology she was using to show exactly happened. It was like life rewind.
It
was a little bit like that quote that, you know, indistinguishable from magic, that whole thing about modern technology. It was a little far, but it was still cool.
I loved
that it was explained as her, like, that's illegal in the Federation. Oh, I had no idea. She's so casual, which I loved. That was just a cute little nod to her personality. But what really got me was he's like, and it's notoriously unreliable. And she's like, oh, good, that's what we wanted you to think.
It's like,
and then it works flawlessly. It's like,
it's such a wonderful Romulan thing of like,
Of course you're telling me that. Yeah. That really worked. You actually bought that.
God damn it.
It's such a nice perspective to have friendly Romulans who were part of the inner working. So they're like, she can be funny about all that shit and still confirm a bunch of stuff for us.
I love Romulans, but I was always so pissed that every time they showed up in stories previously, they would betray them in the end. It's like, oh, no, just give me a Romulan who's like,
interesting.
No.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's been some really neat nods to Romulan culture. I think those are in the next episode, but like,
oh, so cool.
Some really fucking fun stuff. And I'm not a person who's historically really loved the Romulans, like,
but they've always been there.
Yeah. No, like, don't get me wrong. I hate
been
Klingons.
A presence of.
Like, I think the supernova should have destroyed the Klingon Empire, and I think it should have just been successful. Like, the Klingons drive me fucking nuts. But the Romulans I've just kind of been, like, meh about. And no, I'm actually starting to really like them now.
Yeah.
Klingons are still garbage people, but the Romulans are interesting.
I think Discovery made them a little more oddly garbage as well, because they went from, like, weird cliche warrior society to like near barbaric, and it's like,
it's very strange.
You're weird.
Yeah.
You're so weird.
Yeah. It was cooler at first to see them so much more alien as you would think they should be.
Yeah.
And then it was just too much.
Yeah.
But and they're still a showy.
This is very true.
Yeah. Like, they're like, if you painted different gold and you painted different silver, like, French people at one point look very.
Oh,
like, gilded and, like, done up. Like, it could just be, a, like, you know, hundreds of years go on and you put on pink instead of
blue. You think the Klingon face change? That's a bit more than that. But
no, but, like, they've explained it with the hair.
They've come up with some doozy of explanations. But
okay, so
all right, let's stick to Picard.
I'll ask one question, though, first. If Michael Dorn shows up in this show, what is he going to look like?
He's going to look like Normal Worf.
Normal Worf?
Yeah, it's been confirmed that that's not going to be continued into this. It's just an aesthetic choice.
Cool.
Which I'm glad they're not going to be like any of the like complete two devoteds at Comic-Con that are like, where it explains the change back to you. They're like an aesthetic choice made by the direction department. Like,
yeah, it's like our art department. That's what.
Yeah.
Fuck
people
off.
Didn't like it. People freaked out. That's what. You freaked out. It was you.
Yeah, it didn't work.
Yeah.
It's your fault.
Are you Chad 187 way too angry? At bizarrelyaol.com still? Yeah.
Bizarrely AOL.
No, I want Worf with the Chakotay.
Chakotay.
Oh, God.
He has made it very popular.
Oh, that's great.
Everybody thought it was real cool.
Tom Paris got
Mike
one.
Tyson.
But it's been fucked up, so it's like offensive. It actually says a swear word or something.
Oh, that's great.
Everyone just keeps laughing at Tom Paris.
It's like all those twinks that get Kung Pao chicken tattooed because they think it means like peace, joy, and harmony.
Wonderful. So
Laris is awesome. We've established this. She's fucking
Laris
fantastic.
Is fantastic.
All Romulans should have Irish accents. They're just great.
Yeah. So she does the scanny scan of the room, and they completely reconstruct the events, and they see the ass kickery.
No,
it's up to
hold
the
phone. He goes to Okinawa before this.
Does he?
He has to, because Laris, when they're searching for evidence that's hidden in evidence kind of thing, references that Dr. Giovanni told him that the twins would look identical.
Yes.
And I don't think that happened in episode one.
No, it does not. You're right. He goes
so
to...
So we need to nerd out for a minute on seeing the Daystrom Institute.
My God. Amazing.
Just such a, like, oh, and I guess we'll go to Daystrom. It's like, whoa.
Wait, no, you're going to
Hold
Daystrom?
Up. You're going to Daystrom?
We're
First of all,
to...
Daystrom's on Earth. Did not know.
Good to know, but
good
I always assumed it was on some other fucking planet.
I also feel like it has locational areas as well. Like,
it probably has like Daystrom
like a
Daystrom
Institute
stuff, yeah.
can
but
be
this,
multiple
I feel
locations.
Like, I feel like probably. That's like UNB and UNB SJ. Like, I feel like there's probably like a, you know, there's Daystrom Institute Bajor campus kind of thing, but like this is like the real, like the main campus, and it looks fucking awesome.
It looks fantastic.
So Okinawa.
I do think you're
right. Giant hanging thing in the sky.
That was so cool.
Extremely fun. Oh, your next lecture's in the main campus building. Oh, where's that? Oh, you have to teleport up. It's up there. See, it's hanging.
Yeah.
Mm. Right up there. Just gracefully hanging.
I really like the use of, like, it's almost like old school filming with landscapes, like painted landscapes,
yeah.
Where it's like, look at this glorious thing in the background. You're not going to get closer to it.
Yeah.
And I really like they're essentially doing that, but it really works on the horizon.
It's so fun. And it's like, okay, so it's a research institute, so there's probably a reason for that. But it's also just so cool. Oh, I'm glad it's not part of, like, you know, San Francisco, people live in, like, a floating thing. It's like, no, what if that fails? What if this? What if that?
Yeah.
People don't need to live in that. Like, what's the point? There's still lots of room, apparently. You can still have a privately owned chateau. But, like, no, it's a research facility. It should have something fucking cool, like a giant hanging building in the sky.
Yeah.
Love it. And so, Dr. Giovanni. This is where... Okay, so we meet...
Yeah, so we meet Dr. Giovanni, who...
She's got a really old school name. Something...
I wrote that down, I believe. No, I did not.
It's like Imelda or something.
It's Girardi.
Girardi.
Dr. Girardi.
Girardi. Man, I got her name wrong the whole episode.
Agnes Girardi.
Agnes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And...
Agnes.
And she is kind of surprised and amazed to suddenly be meeting Picard, and then he asks her about synthetics and Dr.
About
Bruce
biological
Maddox,
synthetics.
And she has a miserable fucking reaction.
She does. She's just like, well, that's not fucking possible. And he's like, I just had tea with one. And she's like, I wish I had taken a holiday today. This is a tough day for me. I'm not allowed to even experiment. I work in this giant, like, ghostly empty hall of a shell of an institute now.
I can only theorize. And
it's
like,
oh, that hurts. Yeah.
So he asks then, okay, so...
Oh, and it's a galactic treaty, so she can't even go to, like, the Klingon Empire and do her thing. It seems like... It's not even a quadrant-wide treaty.
No,
They got a lot of buy-in.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The Romulan state level were like, okay, push for it.
Yeah,
do it.
The Hirogen are like, we keep getting beat up by holograms. We will send that shit.
Honestly, they are.
Dear Hirogen, could you please stop coming to these talks dressed like Nazis?
Dear Hirogen, could you please shut up if you're gonna fake?
Also,
that
turn off your goddamn stereo, because like that's what their system, like their communication system, just takes over half of the fucking quadrant.
Oh, that's true.
And it's always on.
They're playing like the Hirogen equivalent of Norwegian.
It's like a dude complex of just like, I'm just gonna look, play it.
It's cool.
So good.
Listen, it's jamming tunes. Be cool. God.
That's why nobody goes that way, because they're just like.
Nobody goes that way because the Delta Quadrant is like the original bad neighborhood of the galaxy.
Everything about it is
a mess.
Fucking terrible.
It is a mess, but that's another show's problem. And fault.
And fault. And problem. And problem. And problem.
And that show's
fault.
A problem. Then it's at fault.
But
back to Picard.
Right.
Which, hey, two episodes in, it's fucking great.
Oh, it's fantastic.
I really enjoy
this show.
It's
a little setup heavy, but. It's got a lot of time to, like, organize and get you back into the world.
Yeah. Although, I do kind of like that it get you back into the world, and we spend a lot of time on modern Earth, or future Earth, because we don't really see it that much in the original show.
We don't, and it's very boringly done when we do.
It's
very just, like, establishing shot. It is really nice. Again, it goes back to all the yelling I did in the last episode about how excited I am that it's more relatable and it feels more layered and it's more Caprica, like...
Yeah. Oh, it's very Caprica.
It's great, but it's still, like, clearly,
but
like...
But better than Caprica.
Well, yeah, because there's a lot of very obvious, like, this is... Okay, yeah, it is still kind of our society, but if it went through a number of changes and had Ferengi banks and, like... Yeah,
it's also
cool.
Been smart in taking the, like, Battlestar Galactica... type of cinematography where, like, it's a little grittier, like there's a little bit of dust to things.
Some
things aren't as, like,
stuff,
gray and shiny.
It's not just establishing shot while I judo chop you in the neck, face palm you, yeah.
Like there's a little bit more like, oh, maybe you might get hurt, or like a really innocent Agnes.
Super innocent. Very good. That I have questions about her innocence, which we will get into.
Oh, I hadn't even thought. I'm so... Oh, man. I'm so credulous. I hadn't even thought about that.
But anyway, she says, listen, I can't fucking help you. And the one guy who can has disappeared.
Bruce Banner, as I call him in my
Bruce
head.
Banner. Bruce Banner.
I know. Every time you're like Bruce Maddox, I'm like, who? Oh, Bruce Banner?
Okay. Bruce Banner.
I call him Bruce Badlocks.
Badlocks. So yeah, Dr. Bruce Maddox, who was first introduced in Measure of a Man, in which he attempted to argue legally that Data was property.
Mm-hmm. And then they became friends.
Because that's the most Data thing ever, to be like, you had an interesting idea.
Yeah.
I'm now going to be your friend. And it's like, dude, he tried to enslave you.
Yeah, and he's like, I would be emotionally held back by that if I turned my emotional chip on, but no.
No.
Not right
now. It's just like, fine, Data.
And yeah. He wrote him his letters about his day.
In the funniest episode, yeah. Data's Day.
Data's
I love Data's Day.
Can we put in a small plug for the TNG edits at this point?
My God, yes.
Oh, good God, if you have not... YouTube, TNG edits, Gazora. Enjoy dying a thousand hilarious deaths.
But also,
the panpipe, or the fucking flute on the ship. Oh my God, it's so good. Okay.
I love the really stupid, simple, really basic thing of flipping the ship whenever it's flying so it's upside down. It's just, I don't know, there's something about that that gets me every time.
I know,
like,
I know.
This is so wonderfully stupid. Spot.
Oh God.
Spot. Unta. Unta spot.
Okay,
Unta spot.
We're never gonna get. Oh no, we're never gonna get through this episode. This is horrible.
Ow. What the fuck happens next? Okay, so
I'm trying to think. So Okinawa, and then
and
Boston.
Then Boston.
So much setup.
And they determine that okay, yes, the clone or the twin should look just like her.
Right, and then they find out that she's off-world, at least, and then he...
Oh, right, because she does the tech
thing. Oh, and this is where,
she
spoiler non-alert, because we can talk about it now, this is where we find out that Geordi's still alive.
Okay.
Because Pickard goes... Yeah, this is what happens. Pickard has this very bitchy meeting at Star Trek. Or at Star
oh,
Trek
my God, the fantastic response.
Oh, my God.
Starfleet
yeah,
has.
Admiral
like Janeway
within full rights, like... Seriously, he had that coming.
Oh my God.
You're going to go on as, again, they call it Galactic TV. So, again, it's even scaling up primetime. And call them out that hard. And then you walk in, and not even like it's a question. Just like, oh, I'm
going to
do this.
You're going to give me a ship because I am great.
Yeah.
And this needs to be done.
And she
the fucking arrogance.
Gives him, a fucking arrogance right in his face. And it's totally deserved and called for in every way.
That
makes him feel like a doddering old fool and sends him on his fucking
That actress was actually in TNG as a engineering lieutenant.
You said she always had like kind of just like,
oh, really?
Like
grabby,
a snarky,
throwaway
like shitty
concern.
Comment back to Geordi and Data.
I hope it's this like I hope they remembered that and were intentionally like that person became the fucking head of Starfleet. They're that person that
mm-hmm.
you hate. That's just like, why did you?
She's the new Admiral Doughty.
Hello.
But what was the one that Picard brought down with the drum?
The drumhead. Oh, that crazy bin. Oh my God, she's nuts.
But, like, that's also kind of Picard now.
Yeah.
Yeah,
he's a bit nuts, running around saying, we gotta do it this way.
That's true.
Patrick Stewart's performance in reacting to being told, piss off, was fantastic. We're just like...
They do a great job of portraying him as unrepentantly arrogant. Like, he has a serious character flaw for him. Like, he's kind of, like, amusedly appalled that the guy at the gate to Starfleet doesn't know who he is kind of thing. Tells him he's happy to see him up and around because he's clearly old.
Yeah.
And, like, yeah, he really does not have any idea that he's not going to get exactly what he wants, and he's appalled by this.
Yeah.
Then he makes his Raffi don't hang up call.
Yeah. Which...
Oh, yeah, because Geordi LaForge's throwaway line.
Oh, yeah.
Because Reasonable Price Sedan recommends that he get a crew together and go find the twin.
Go find
the twin. So he's like, Does he say call Worf or LaForge?
No, he says call Riker first. And he's like,
and then he says Worf for LaForge.
Yeah.
So they're all still fine. So LaForge
at least those
fine.
Three. And
all the higher-ups on YouTube with Phoenicia were on.
And we know
for
that
for
Deanna's okay because she's married to...
We've seen her.
Yeah,
like, it's in a preview. So, like, that's not a spoiler. It's in a preview.
Yeah. Yeah, so...
This episode is currently being sponsored by Dogfights. Come on!
Dogfights!
Dogfights!
Out.
It's rough.
Terrible. Terrible. essentially he's given no option and he's kind of doddering and he takes a last ditch attempt and he calls Raffi Music. What was it? Music?
Raffi Musica.
Musica. Raffi Musica.
Musica.
Who, of course, we met in the prequel comic very briefly as a brilliant, up and coming, very loyal to Picard first officer.
We don't get much of a feel for her yet this episode. We do not. I feel like we're missing. We're jumping over a few.
We're jumping over a bunch of Soji.
How do you spell her name?
Soji.
Soji. Okay, so she's fucking British McClear villain.
Yeah. Now here's the interesting
thing. McClure.
McClear villain. He's McClear.
Oh, he's a McClure villain.
And British McClear villain's sister.
Yeah.
Is working for that. Okay. The fact that the Vulcan head of security is apparently a Romulan agent pisses me off so hard.
That's so obvious. Like, wow, you guys. Oh, no. She's not obvious in this episode. Jumping ahead very quickly. The sunglasses.
Yeah.
What kind of a fucking spy wears sunglasses and shows up to talk to you about spy shit? And it's just like, are you
She's
kidding
like,
me?
I'm just nonchalant. I'm on the beach.
I actually wanted someone to, Dr. What's-Her-Name to be like, are those sunglasses? Why don't you have, like, your eye tints on or something? Like, something futuristic that isn't Ray-Bans.
Yeah. They weren't Ray-Bans.
They were Ray-Bans.
No, I refuse to believe that.
They were Ray-Bans. They were the classic Wayfarer. Design.
That's amazing.
Yeah, no, I know Wayfarers. That's my favorite.
I hate class.
That
character so far just because it's too
she's
obvious.
So
I'm
obvious
presuming.
And stupid and...
I'm presuming something's going on where she's not actually working for the Romulans. That she's compromised in another less irritatingly obvious way.
So, do you think she is a Vulcan who's compromised, or do you think she's a Romulan pretending to be a Vulcan?
I'm hoping she's a Vulcan who's compromised, because if she's a Romulan pretending to be a Vulcan, I'm so bored, because it's been done 8 billion times.
Okay.
Like, that ambassador...
And it's a nice
Data's
flip
dead.
On the switch of, like, a Vulcan just trying to hold things together, and then having a Romulan undermine
them. Yeah, like, I would love it if she's, like, a Vulcan, and, like, a true Federation supporter, and she legitimately is so terrified of synthetics that she's, like... working at either I would like it if she wasn't working with the Romulus. She has to be, but like at least it's not by choice. There should be something going on there less obvious.
But
like,
it builds the world. It builds the world of everybody's a little bit terrified right now because a whole world went on fire.
Yeah. I specifically do not like I'm okay with like
and
whatever
Earth's neighbor, you're right. We're neglecting the importance of that too.
Oh yeah, yeah. But like I
founder of the Federation.
Mars?
No, Vulcan.
No, we're talking about Mars.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Mars is on fire, thus maybe why Starfleet security is so paranoid. But I find the sister character to be, like, who's the go-between between all of this, to be superfluous. Because, like, they're not revealing anything yet, but they're showing her and her relationships, and it's like, no, I do this later if we must.
Yeah.
Tying this now is too early. Otherwise, you're like, I feel like it's a fake clue to something.
This is why I'm still convinced that...
We haven't hit the mid-season turn, though.
That's what
I'm
saying.
And once
you
hit the mid-season turn, it's like they're going to set up a couple of pins, and not everyone will fall down.
Yeah.
But, like, they have to put the pins up.
This is what I'm saying. McClearly evil... definitely is going to end up falling for Soji and choosing her over his, like, sister and blah blah and, like...
Or dying
like,
tragically.
Which bugs me, because if that's what happens, it does come across as kind of obvious, because what else are you going to do? He's actually a legit villain, and so is his sister, and so is O, and they're all just Romulan agents.
It's
and
just
more
so
more.
Obvious. Yeah.
Yeah, it's like, there's got to be some twist there, but I kind of feel like if we're just being set up for, like, ooh, the twist, I'm like, eh. I'm not that intrigued by...
Can if a character villain does and his sister die tragically, can they stay dead, though, please?
That would be nice. And especially it's a danger around Borg technology because
but like,
you can
no,
resurrect
with,
people.
With Yar, with Discovery, like, just, if somebody dies, let them.
Yeah, yeah, like, just let it be permanent, not be some weird workaround for a story.
Please, it's, okay, they're bringing this show back, or they're bringing these characters back after how long?
Yeah.
We're absolutely going to lose a key player.
Yeah, someone's
going
to
die. They're totally going to kill off one of the original TNG casts.
My money's on
Worf. Deanna's going to get a shot in the face.
No, but like something, there's going to be a moment where everybody's going to drop out, like, oh my god.
I think they're going to kill Worf on screen as a tribute to throwing Worf across the room.
They're going to kill Riker, and they're going to be focusing on Deanna. And she's going to be like, oh my god, I can't feel him! And then it'll be like calling back to all the bloopers of Jonathan Frakes being like, go ahead, feel some shit. And it'll be hilarious.
He gets shot, and he dramatically falls down, but he first has to like walk over a chair to fall over. It's fantastic.
They reveal it's Thomas.
Ooh, that'd be nice. And he just...
Oh, that'd be so fucked.
William comes... Will comes
Will's
out
just in
like,
the basement or something. Will's
like, what's going on?
Will died.
Oh, that's so weird.
Will died, and she found Thomas. That'd be great.
Is he dead, Thomas Riker? Because didn't he turn him a key?
No, he's not dead. He's in prison.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Probably not anymore.
It's probably not enough. He should have been on Voyager.
Ugh.
I mean, obviously, they couldn't have convinced Jonathan Frakes to
go on such a terrible show.
Yeah, but that would have been great if just, like, it's not Will Riker, but it is Will Riker, but it's not Will Riker.
Yeah.
That would have been great. Instead of, like, fake-ass Chakotay. Oh, we've been down that road before.
Okay, Chakotay is a horrifying, hilarious amalgam.
Yeah.
And a pile of nonsense. Harry Kim should have been gay. Harry Kim reads as gay in every respect and just has no interesting developments because they couldn't do it.
But he
and Tom Paris is the most milquetoast.
Interested in the twins. He's interested in Tom Paris, and Tom Paris keeps dragging him along to the twins.
Yeah, he's interested in having like a hot four-way with the twins where he can just ignore the twins and focus on Tom Paris. Which is so weird. Like, who wants Tom Paris?
No one. On Earth.
Apparently
Harry,
B'Elanna?
You could get Chakotay easy.
B'Elanna's got no taste. We all know that.
No, it's true.
Anyway, that's a horrible show. We're talking about a good show.
Yeah, it's true. We are. We should get back to that.
So, on the Borg Cube, which we get a couple more details of. One, we understand that people are working on it in some capacity.
And that they are trying to free former Borgs.
Yeah, which is...
What they're doing with them remains mysterious.
Very mysterious.
And it's not... Like,
but
it's not
Soji
active.
Doesn't seem like a bad person.
No.
And she seems to be rather gentle-minded towards these people, so I can't imagine that it's, like, extremely obviously terrible what's happening to them after this.
And it seems to be almost like a project that either you get hired to do, or it's a lot of, like... doctorate students
people
or master
do
students
it.
Yeah and
yeah.
It's like no spent
that's right
because
we get
like teaching hospital
yeah
potentially
exactly.
A nameless new character who I completely forget her name unfortunately yeah
and
yeah,
psychology has a lot to do with it as well
which
is interesting
and stuff, yeah.
Exactly.
But oh, by the Romulan Free State. Now we can touch on this finally.
So the Empire,
the
Star
Empire, which has
fallen.
The stupidest name I've ever heard. Star Empire.
Star Empire.
The symbol no longer has Romulus and Remus.
I couldn't see the symbol.
Like any of the little symbols you see where it usually has like
the
two balls.
Yeah.
There's nothing.
Well, it makes sense.
Oh, yeah.
So
they're just like,
You
could just like take those out and just be like,
oh brutal.
Need that.
The name is interesting.
The Free State, yeah.
Free State.
I'm really fascinated by
it.
It
makes me think it's not as authoritarian as it has been. It can't be.
No, and something...
Unless it's like the Democratic People's Republic of North Korea.
Right. But, of course, we don't know yet. But, of course, they're operating this project openly. So
that's the thing. And if humans are going to work on it,
then
there's ties with the Federation of some sort. There's, like, labor exchange. There's some kind of citizen agreement, like... movement of people kind of thing, which the fucking terribly named Star Empire certainly never had.
Yeah. And Starfleet is not overly concerned that there might be some sort of Romulan plot. So it seems that, like, the Romulans have been, at least in their eyes, have been neutered and are now more cooperative.
At least in the Free State.
Exactly.
We don't know that there's still a unitary Romulan state.
And this really fascinatingly plays into... Star Trek Online, which for a decade kind of held up the light of the original canon.
Mm.
And in that now, it who the fuck knows what's going on there story-wise, because it is in canon. They get the actors to come in and read the lines, but of course, it takes place about 10 years after this show.
Oh.
Or maybe 10 or 20 years. And in that, it's not the Romulan Free State, it's the New Republic.
Okay.
Romulan New Republic, and there's a whole history. There's a new Romulus.
Hmm.
All of that's going to get ejected or like put into like a third
Or they'll get us there.
Universe. Somehow. No, because, like, it's video game writing. It's not good enough. It's
in that case, excise that stuff.
So, I'd just like to say thank you, Star Trek Online, for keeping the dream alive. But as it occurs every now and then with Star Trek stuff, you're gone. You're ejected. I am sorry.
The Kelvin timeline never happened.
Kelvin timeline...
No, it did, but it happened as it was exploding and destroying itself.
Flying. No, yeah, it was all a dream that Will Riker saw in the holodeck when he was having a personal crisis.
He was drunk on trombone.
Have you ever read that story about it's the life of a janitor on the Enterprise, and it's all about him having to clean the holodeck, and how it's so fucking awful. Like, Worf does extremely gross things in it, and then, like, but Riker's thing is all a thing where he's, like, I think he's, like, a giant Riker shitting in the mouth of a smaller Riker. I don't know. I don't remember properly, but it's quite fucked and hilarious.
That's amazing.
I'm build number one, number two.
Number one. I feel like that was something I should have saved for the Patreon-only conversation.
That's fantastic, though. I did not know that. Okay, so yeah, we meet Nameless Character, who Soji exposition dumps to. We get to see a little bit of the Narek, I believe his name is. Their relationship.
McClearly Evil.
McClearly Evil. We get to see that board that says that there hasn't been an assimilation in 16 years, despite the state.
Which is nicely done in both English and some kind of romance,
and
right?
Soji talks to a Trill friend.
Soji talks to a Trill, so the Trills are still doing fine.
Yep.
Whatever.
Presumably still members of the Federation. They're pretty...
Well, if they're in the Romulan New State, Free State, like, they may not be.
Well, they're working.
Soji's
the
from
same
the Federation,
way. and there's the other thing. Soji acknowledges that, like, yeah, it's my Daj is my sister, whereas Daj never like mentioned
her that she
sister.
Has a sister.
And so, like,
do you think Daj didn't know?
I maybe there's something there that it played to me that Daj was less aware, and Soji is more special because she was aware.
Yeah.
Of whatever it is.
Maybe Daj was like the B4 in this relationship.
Oh, no.
Oh, yeah, and we find out B4 didn't work.
Yes, B4 didn't work,
which
and
apparently
Data devastates
you.
Yes, because it means that Data is lost.
I'm being killed with affection. You're a sweet puppy, but we're trying to record a podcast.
Deal with it. So, yeah, we find out B4 didn't work. Data is dead. They still have B4.
He's in a B4 drawer.
In a B4 drawer.
But does that not mean that...
In the after credenza.
But they did save a spark of Data.
Specifically, the spark of Data, though, is in Soji and Daj.
But is that directly from...
It would have to be directly from Data.
Yeah, it's directly from Data, not B4. He sent it to...
To him?
Maddox.
Okay.
Yeah.
When he sent his love letter of what happened today.
Exactly. And so it gets revealed that, the twins is the last episode. So nothing is revealed yet except that whoever the other Daj twin is, this is from Picard's perspective, they're out in space somewhere.
Can I nitpick
somewhere
something?
Yeah.
The line, I didn't know Romulans could be that hot. That's fucking racist as shit.
Who said that?
Nameless Trill friend.
Oh!
Who probably has a name, but...
Yeah, that is kind of like... Especially after this much time, it's like... You probably...
I didn't know Chinese people could be that hot. Wow!
You think Trill would know better than to, like...
Yeah, she's clearly unjoined.
Yeah.
Like, unjoinable.
Maybe she's first generation. She hasn't... She doesn't know shit yet.
Yeah, no one in her entire family history has ever passed the initiate exam, that one.
There's the reason.
It's funny to think of it that way, though. But, like... It is! You've known Romulans for that long.
Right?
Yeah, that's weird.
Come on.
Yeah.
And also, by that logic...
If one of my friends said, I didn't know Asians could be that hot, I'd be like, I have problems with... things that are coming out of your face.
Right? But also, by that logic, is she saying that, like, she's never seen an attractive Vulcan?
Because they look pretty much like... But where did the head bumps come from?
I think that's just one of those like evolutionary things that occurred after the split.
I'm really glad out of anything that we've gotten away from the like Kim Jong Un enforced universal haircuts for Romulans.
Yeah, having a budget for costume and shit is really, really nice. I really like that you don't see them showing up with those weird checkerboard jacket things.
Have you ever seen thing for all of the like Starfleet characters?
Yeah.
They all had the
oh, and all of your stylized leisure wear was brought to you by Couch Upholstery.
Yeah.
I love having aliens with different accents for some reason. It is just fun.
It is.
It's easier to suspend disbelief. Like, I like it. I do. But yeah, but like, why do you have to have the clear villain have a British accent? It just... Does his sister have a British accent?
I don't think so. And I think that's like a character he's putting on.
Oh, hold the fucking phone.
Hmm.
Is sister just a term? Because when Laris and Reasonably Priced Sedan are talking about being the Tal Shiar.
Yeah.
And she's talking about their handler, and he's referring to his mother, and then her getting drunk with them, and he says something about his father. Is that just, like, your cell that you operate in the Tal Shiar? Do you just have a family-based cell?
Did I just discover a thing?
Ooh, I'm maybe.
That's a fascinating
So maybe they're not related at all.
Yeah, maybe that's the code name that you call the other
member.
Maybe
we found something to make them interesting.
Oh.
Yeah, alright. Alright, what else happens this episode?
So then we get to, he approaches Raffi, who is living at Vasquez Rock.
Vasquez Rock.
Yeah, at Vasquez Rock.
Which is now Star Trek.
Yeah, so ever since the Gorn episode.
No! Oh, that's delightful they chose there.
And so it appears...
Oh, so good.
It appears now and then throughout in various, like, from various perspectives and various shots.
But it was actually credited as its reason.
This is the first time it's actually
been,
like...
That's such a nice touch.
She's at Vasquez, yeah. So that's super cool.
RV house thing is awesome.
I know, I really like it.
It's awesome. And as we learn in the next episode, but it's not much of a spoiler, she grows snake weed, whatever the fuck that is, and vapes it on her deck.
Vapes the shit out of
that. I'm not sure what it says about my character, but I was really happy to see someone vaping on, like, future Star Trek, but I was.
I was happy to see, and we'll get into further detail on it, but another character just smoking a fucking stogie. On his ship, Rios.
Oh, hey, listen, I like... We're going to get into how much I like everything about that guy.
That guy's pretty cool.
He's a panty dropper, that one. Jeez.
But also, yes. Anyway, that's the next episode. Because Picard approaches Raffi. He's carrying a bottle of Chateau de Picard. And she says, fuck off.
Yeah, and he's like, Romulan agents operating on Earth with impunity.
I have booze and secrets.
Yeah, and I think that's pretty much the end of it.
Yeah, that's pretty much the end of it.
Thoughts and feelings for me were still extremely positive,
mm-hmm.
but I was still extremely annoyed that, like, a lot of the trailers showed, like, you know, Picard with his new crew on this ship going to save things. And,
yeah,
like,
we're
still on fucking Earth, and he's just met with one person who's going to go with him. Like, well, I guess two if you count Dr. Jurati.
But still, for all you know at this point, Jurati could just be like a drop-in info dump.
Yeah, but it doesn't matter because the pacing issues for me, which it's funny because you're right, it is very fast-paced. There is a lot of info dumps. There is a lot of exposition. But now that we're all set up, all the setups, still, I was chafing the whole time because we still haven't gotten off Earth and we still haven't met this crew. We still haven't seen this ship he's going to be spending time on.
Yeah.
But all of these issues are solved in the next episode.
Exactly.
So
we
like,
do
well,
that.
I was like...
But where's my legacy characters?
Oh, yeah, no.
Yeah, I've been seriously irritated.
And, like, even on, like, if you have if
Starfleet
is... You
gotta save them, though.
No, but if Starfleet is Starfleet, you could pick up your phone and be like, hey, buddy, what's going on?
Yeah.
But you know that,
you
like,
know you would.
If Picard had this reaction to Starfleet, because Picard is he is fucking Starfleet. He ran the flagship, for Christ's sake.
Yeah.
If he's willing to bail on Starfleet, like, you have to imagine a lot of the Enterprise crew scattered like the wind real fast. Like,
yeah.
There's no reason to believe Riker and Dee Dee have anything left to do with Starfleet at all. I keep saying Star Trek. Like, it's a big bacon abandon. Starfleet.
The one thing the one true complaint I have about this episode is I wish that the person, the CNC of Starfleet that he went to, I wish that was Catherine. Because I really would have liked to have
I actually read an article where it argued the opposite perspective, that it was a good thing that they didn't use Kathy J.
Yeah.
And I feel like a bad person, because again, I'm going to take it there. I wonder if it was one of two things. Part of me wonders if Mulgrew just didn't want to do it.
Mm-hmm.
And I can kind of see that, because her feelings towards Star Trek are mixed.
Yes, they are.
But if someone was like, no, she doesn't look enough like Janeway anymore, she's aged poorly, I'm going to be so mad. I'm going to be like, really? Like,
yeah.
Because, like, she doesn't look like Janeway anymore.
She doesn't.
But she's just aged, and she looks cool, and, like, you know what? Janeway necessarily wouldn't look like Janeway anymore. Time has passed.
Right?
Like,
she may not be in Starfleet either. She could be hanging out with Raffi, smoking...
No way. Catherine's in Janeway... Catherine's
in Janeway until the end of time.
Catherine is in Starfleet until she dies.
Like, her being an admiral made sense. Picard being an admiral made less sense.
Less sense. Kirk being an admiral makes no sense. Mm-mm. Yeah. They should have actively been like, no! This guy?
Kirk should have been a Biden-esque vice president of the Federation. That would have been delightful.
Amazing.
Yeah, I was pretty pissy about, like, the pacing just because of the whole... I really have a preoccupation, apparently, about us still being not off-world.
I mean, it's Star Trek, and
it's
we're
Star
still
Star Trek,
on
yeah.
It is curious.
But at the same time... And especially because I know it's only 10 episodes.
Yeah.
There is a lot to build up. There is a lot of story to build up.
You've got a clock going, though.
Yeah, I don't want to give too much away, but by the end of the next episode, I'm completely resolved. I'm fine. This show's great. If you've only seen the first two episodes and you're having any of the issues with pacing I'm having, just go the fuck ahead and watch the next episode and be resolved and happy.
Jump and go.
But first, donate to our Patreon account.
Yes.
Actually, don't donate. That's not a thing.
No, you...
We're not a charity.
Sponsor.
Yeah.
But before that...
We're starving children, and you need to sponsor us.
Please help us. Predictions. What was the prediction?
Oh, make it
segment?
So.
Make it so.
Make it so. The things you want.
Make it so.
A legacy character. Just a legacy character in the background. Maybe like a on-screen discussion with Picard and... a person from somewhere that we know.
I just want to be right about, and not just because I want to be right, but because I like the concept better, of them, that brother and sister not being family, but being, like, operatives. Like,
that'd be really cool.
Because that really would make a lot more sense out of the references to mother and father from Recently Priced Sedan.
Yeah, and in the comics, they don't mention, like, mother or father or anything.
Yeah, exactly.
I'd like to see more of the structure and detail of the Free State. I want to know what the fuck's up.
Yes.
Where are they? Are they on New Romulus? Have they?
And where is what's going on? Like,
what's
have the margins survived? Yeah. Is it half of the Empire has been destroyed?
Like, what does the map of Starfleet look like? Because, and this is not not ruining anything, but Discovery, their whole storyline in the crazy future is very small Starfleet.
Yes.
So, like, are we seeing the slow degradation of it to nothingness?
If Starfleet still exists at all in 900 years, you would be fine.
Have we not even reached the peak of Starfleet, though? Is that maybe in the 27th?
Well, let's separate Starfleet and the Federation, too. Like, the two the two can be mutually exclusive.
This is true.
The Federation could rot, and Starfleet could survive and create something new and shinier in its place, or more likely the vice versa. Starfleet could become corrupt until the Federation eventually has to close that shit down and replace it with something brand new.
Well, who is the policy overriding control of the time Starfleet people? Like,
there must be like a minister of temporal nonsense on like the Federation Council.
Yeah.
So could Picard set up the temporal prime directive?
No, because there's already temporal agents in the resonant because they show up on DS9 to debrief Sisko after the Bell Rides. Yes, I am that guy. We do know that much about this show.
No, you're absolutely right. The Temporal Affairs Office already exists, mm-hmm. and has existed since Kirk, because they claim that he was a pain in the ass.
Yeah, that's true. Although, they could be going, wow.
I suspected that meant, like, at the time, they were like, oh, fucking hell. I think the Temporal Affairs Office, or whatever it's called, is begun just after Bacula. Shit. Archer.
Janeway really yes. got a pass from that hold of
power. No, wait, never mind. They didn't complain about Kirk. They complained about Janeway.
Janeway got a massive... They
said that she was a pain in the ass.
In DS9, they said Kirk was a pain in the ass.
They don't mention Janeway?
They can't, because she's missing and but like, whatever. Apparently they can't see the future.
The Year of Hell. Surely that would have like caused their computers to freak out.
That should have been a
This is back when they were all focused on the Quadrant. Oh my god, it was like when people were all nationalists and forgot we all live on one planet. Now we're all galactic in our scope.
We've gone 50 minutes.
We've gone 50 minutes?
Yeah.
We should note that it's late. And, like,
it's 11:30.
Oh dear. Is it?
Yeah.
Do we have time for one more episode?
We launch right into it, probably.
Well, we still have to do a brief inter... we still have to do a brief... I keep wanting to call it Untucked, but I'm sure Rue has trademarked that. We need to do a brief backdoor cigarettes.
Alright, well let me just do this and we'll
For our delightful and loyal and lovely Patreon subscribers, who we will send nudes to upon request.
Nudes.
They'll be a Brent, because he's the quietest one of us.
$5 for nudes.
I'm also the hot side piece, so they're my
Yay!
Nudes.
There you go, we can use him for it.
Alright.
All the photos. Thank you so
They'll be
much.
Tasteful.
Ha! No, they wouldn't.
Not if I took one.
Raunchy! Thank you so much for listening to Please Won't You Shut Up, a Star Trek Picard podcast. If you enjoyed, please like, share, and subscribe. And if you're watching us on YouTube, please ding the thing.
If you're not watching us on YouTube, you can.
Ding the thing.
Won't see us yet, but you can see us soon on Patreon. But we're on YouTube, because this is, I'm old, this is the one I find things on.
Yeah.
At youtube.com/mygenderiscinema.
Correct.
This is the thing I do now.
It's the... I can do this.
I am Deanie Petty, and this is my Pantene Pro-V.
Don't forget to visit Here You Go Productions on Patreon, where you'll find this and other podcasts and videos, plus much more. And please share
exclusive
your support.
Exclusive digital content.
Ooh, exclusive. Only for you, if you give us money.
We admit to weird things on that. You should definitely contribute.
That's hilarious.
And listen...
And please share your support by pledging as little as $1 a month so we can keep bringing these shows to you. Until next time, I'm looking at you too. To absent friends, I hate you all.
I love you.
God damn it.
Ryan Seacrest here. When you have a busy schedule, it's important to maximize your downtime. One of the best ways to do that is by going to ChumbaCasino.com. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino games like spin slots, bingo, and solitaire that you can play for free for a chance to redeem some serious prizes. So hop on to ChumbaCasino.com now and live the Chumba life. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21+. Terms and conditions apply.
Open the door to huge savings now at Menards. Enhance the appearance of your home with a new stylish garage door. Choose from our large in-stock selection of ideal garage doors or design your own using our free garage door designer in-store or on Menards.com. Save big on ideal garage doors. And don't forget to check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for all the great deals happening now.
Save.